Turn with me in your pew Bible this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. We're going to start with that verse. Now, this is the second sermon on the series that I started within this last week. So, learning to love well, emotional maturity of what that looked like to become an emotional adult. And sometimes we are emotional infants or children or adolescents. And so, the Lord wants us to grow to be emotional adults and the way that we live life. And so we're going to continue that this morning. And I said last week when I left that Matthew 5, verse 9, which is the Beatitudes, that I'd take this verse that we're going to read in just a minute, and that I'd probably turn that upside down a little bit for you today. I'm going to challenge you in your own faith walk of what that looks like when God says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven." So we're going to learn what that looks like through a few different things today. So join me, Matthew 5, verse 9, and then we'll go to chapter 7, and then also Mark 11. Listen to the word of the Lord this morning. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And then turneth me to Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. This section is entitled, Judging Others. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your own brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother or sister, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's or sister's eye. And then Mark chapter 11, verses 15 through 17. Now this is after Jesus enters Jerusalem. This would have been on Palm Sunday. And then he enters the temple. And this is what he does. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "It is not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for,'" excuse me, let me reread that so you get that. "It is not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers." The reading of the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we gather here this morning and we hear from your word, may you bring that word to life. Lord, as we learn your ways, your teachings, Lord, may you fill me with the Holy Spirit, and may these words be your words and never mine. Lord, I pray for that same Holy Spirit to fill your people that are here today, those that are listening online as well. Lord, may you open their hearts, their minds, and souls to receive your teaching. In Jesus I pray, amen. There were two men who lived in a small village that got into just a terrible dispute, an argument, and they could not resolve it. And so they thought, what should we do? And so they decided that they would visit the town sage. Now, if you don't know what the town sage is, a sage is a wise man, a wise person who they can go and visit with and try to work through their issue together. So one of the men, the first night, he called the town sage and set up an appointment to meet with him, and he discussed his issues with them, and the sage said to him, "You are absolutely right." And so he went home and went on his way. The second man set up for the next night, and he went and he visited with the sage, and he explained his side of the story, and the sage stopped, and he said, "You know what? You are absolutely right." And his wife was in the background listening to these conversations, and she scolded him, and she said, "How can both men be absolutely right in this situation?" And the sage looked at his wife, and he said, "You're absolutely right." Here's the point, though, that I want to make with you this morning. See, that is an image or an illustration of false peacemaking. It's not true peacemaking. That's what you're going to learn this morning about what that verse means in Matthew 5, verse 9 today. So kind of a funny little story. But you know and I know that they both absolutely can't be right. Somewhere in the middle of what's going on, there's truth, isn't there? And I'm speaking of truth of Scripture today as well as we live our life in the chaos and the differences that we encounter every day in our lives. So this morning, how do we keep the peace in the midst of differences or conflict that you and I will face, especially when it comes to the truth of Scripture? How does that happen in relationships? How do we go about doing that? Now, you learned a little bit last week of what it means to be an emotional adult and have those authentic, real conversations, and so we're going to go just a little bit deeper this morning. What does Jesus teach us in Scripture about being peacemakers? So let me just review with you just briefly this morning, kind of what we did last week, so you know where we're at. We're all in the same field this way together. I shared with you last week that in order to have true relationships with those who hold to different beliefs or ways of life, you need to see them as thous, created in the image of God, right? They're no more, no less than what you are. The problem is that when we have differences and things that we don't agree with, we start to treat them as who? It's. Right? And that can be easy to fall into that trap, me included. You run across people and you start to treat them as it's in our life. And so that's not our place. That's not how God created us to be. We are to treat people as thous in our life, even those that have differences. And I taught you this morning, I think we had like a two-part sermon last week, right? I stopped, I prayed, and then I had to finish. Remember that? And I showed you this image that was on the screen here that's in that box of the I and the thou, and that there's a sacred place in the mix of that relationship, that if we allow ourselves to enter into a relationship with those who had differences, God shows up, and he does sacred things in the midst of those relationships. He works in them. But you got to get to that point, and you have to trust God in those types of relationships. And it can be with your wife, your neighbor, your children, your coworker, the person down the street who does not agree with the way you live your life, or maybe you don't agree with the way they live theirs. But that's what God calls us to. And how does that look? The thou relationship. God's presence is manifest when we love people genuinely. That was the bottom line that I shared with you last week. And so we do that. We learned how to do that, and you're going to learn a little bit more today. Our emotional maturity informs our capacity to resolve conflicts maturely and to negotiate solutions and how we handle them. You know people who are quick-witted, and you know those that maybe are quick-tempered as well, right? Maybe fly off the handle, they live out of fear, and they act like emotional children or adolescents, and I think I brought up the topic of we all had teenagers in the house, or you're going to, or we know what that's like, and we were one ourselves one day, weren't we? Of how we act. But here's the issue that I want to share with you this morning. The problem for most of us, you and me included, because I'm not good at this and I'm learning, is that we are poor at resolving conflict. Christians are poor at resolving conflict, issues that come between us in our lives. We don't do well at it. But hopefully this morning we'll get to understand more of how we can be better at it. And so I think there's two reasons for this that I want to share with you this morning of why we're not very good at it. And you might have more, that's okay. First, we have the wrong beliefs about what it means to make peace with someone in our lives. And you'll learn more about that in just a minute. Second, we're not very good at being true peacemakers because we misinterpret Matthew 5, verse 9. And you're going to learn that in just a minute, too. Well, how do I misinterpret that? What does that look like? What does that mean in my life? And so that's where I want to share with you this morning. Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Now, most of us believe that Jesus calls us to be pacifiers and appeasers when it comes to this verse. Notice what I got a picture up there of, right? A pacifier. We're used to putting in that in a baby's mouth who maybe is a little bit upset or crying or whatever, and it appeases them. You see, most of us think that this verse means that I must appease people. I must keep them from being unhappy or angry or whatever it might be. That's what we think that verse means. The story that I shared with you earlier this morning of the two men that were absolutely right, the man that was the sage was an appeaser. He didn't want to upset the apple cart. An appeaser in his life. He told them what they wanted to hear. Have you ever done that in your life? You enter into a conversation with somebody that's maybe just a little bit of a conflict, or you know it's maybe not a very good relationship, and so you just appease. You appease. Appease. And we believe that that verse, in order to live it out, is to make sure that we keep the peace between others. That's what we believe that verse means. But I'm going to teach you something a little bit different this morning in the way that Jesus lived it out. Often you and I choose to ignore difficult problems in our life because making sure things remain stable is more important is what we think. Right? Stability. Maintain that at any cost. Don't upset people. Don't come against them with truth or whatever it might be in our life. And most of the time, we do this out of fear. And here's where we go sometimes, and I'm going to show you on the next screen what that might look like. Can you read that on the top there, what that says? We pretend what is wrong is right in our lives. Did you hear what I said? We pretend what is wrong is right in our lives. All to keep the peace. All to appease. And when you and I decide to live this way and to not deal with those difficult issues between two people, we become false peacemakers. And guess what? When you don't find true peace in your life, that relationship will always be messy. It will be hard. It will be difficult. It won't go well because you're a false peacemaker in your life. Have you ever been in a situation that you're maybe outnumbered, or you might be the only one with this opinion or maybe this truth, and so you're afraid to speak up for what is right, so you just go with the flow. You ever been there? Probably all of us have, haven't we? Yeah. We just go with the flow. We buy into what's going on because we don't want to disrupt the flow of things. We don't want to upset the apple cart in our lives. False peacemaking is what Jesus calls it. And oftentimes, I think in these situations, we think that we're being like Christ, right? And we try to keep the peace and appease people in our lives. But you need to realize that true peace in a relationship will never come if we pretend what is wrong is right. Never. True peacemakers love God. They love others. They love themselves. Enough to disrupt the false peace in their lives. Jesus was a true peacemaker in his life. Let me also share this with you this morning. You might find this a little bit like, oh, it might catch you off guard just a little bit. Jesus disrupted the false peace all around him most of the time. My example that I gave you this morning is in the book of Mark when he entered the temple courts and he's seen what was going on in there. It wasn't the true things of God inside the temple. It was supposed to be a house of what? Worship, prayer. And he called it a what? Den of thieves, a den of robbers. He disrupted the false peace. He turned it upside down. He said, this is not who we're supposed to be. You can't have true peace of Christ's kingdom with lies and false teachings. You think about the lies of the disciples, the crowds, the religious leaders, the scribes, the Romans, those buying in the temple, selling in the temple. He disrupted all of that for true peacemaking in his life. Now, most of the time he didn't turn people away. He wasn't angry with them. He came out in love. Now, you can find spots in the Bible where, you know, he called them, you brood of vipers, right? He got on people. He called them for what it was. But yet he came with love and grace. He stayed in relationship with them as best he could. Now, some denied him. That's their choice. But he stayed in relationship. He continued to love them for who they were. He knew they were sinners. He knew that they needed grace of Jesus Christ, his blood that would be shed on the cross just a few days later. So do we. The mature, loving thing to do is to expose the false lies to the light and replace it with truth in our lives. That's what we need to do. That's the mature, loving thing to do. And so we learned last week about this I-thou relationship. And let me just tell you this. If you live in the I-thou relationship, I want you to expect persecution in your life. It's going to come. Not everybody's going to agree with the way that you live and the things that you believe and the things that you do in your life. Some people might hate you for it. I think Jesus spoke about that in Scripture. You know, they hated me first. Just remember that. But they might hate you too by being a follower of Jesus Christ. And I want to share this statement with you, and this is so evident today. I think that we live in a world today that is emotionally immature. We don't speak well to each other. We don't speak on a level that we can hear each other. We're not adults in the world that you and I live in today. Sometimes I don't even know if we're adolescents anymore. And you might see that not only in your own actions, but in the actions of others. But don't get this thought in your head as well. As I was going through this again this morning, that doesn't mean that we're any better than them, right? We're just as much in need of Jesus Christ and the salvation through his blood as what they are. Just because they act that way, that's something also I want to share with you. You do not need to take that on. You're only responsible for your actions and your words and the way that you act towards other people in your life. Unresolved conflict, differences. Issues with others are one of the greatest tensions in believers' lives today to try to resolve and work through those things. And so here is probably most often what people like to do. When you come against conflict, what's the best and easiest thing to do? I shouldn't say best. How about most practiced when you get into conflict with somebody? Ignore it. Right? Hope it goes away. Right? Have you been there where you get into a conflict or an issue with somebody and you just don't say nothing and time goes by and you just hope that it never gets brought up again. Right? Right? You just ignore it and hopefully it goes away. You know what the problem is with that? That is exactly what false peacemaking is. Because you know what? When you enter back into the room with somebody that you had a conflict with, what's the first thing on your mind? Oh, yeah, I remember the last time I was there, I was in conflict with them, right? They know it and you know it. And it affects your relationship. That's false peacemaking. See, Jesus doesn't want us to live there. He wants us to live in the truth. And he wants us to be able to have those deep, real conversations with others in our life. And we live those in the I-thou relationship together. Let me give you a tool that will help you go through this. This is Peter Scazzaro's tool in his book, as I was reading in that. And it's, you can see it, it's in the blue box in the bottom of the screen. He says, you got two people that are in this situation. And if you do it well, this is what you need to kind of look for and respond and say. Now, this isn't perfection by any means. So it starts out as the speaker. Here's a few things. There's a little bit more behind this. And we get to the listener. Of course, I could go by like 3 pages for the listener, right? Because he tells us, you know, we're to be good listeners. And so the list will be a little bit longer. But let me talk to you. If you're the person in the conflict and you're going to speak to this situation, whatever it might be, he says, talk about your own thoughts, your own feelings. Use I statements. Be brief. And make sure they understand what you're trying to say. And when you're done, say, that's all. All right, now here is the harder one. If you're the listener, this is the hard part, especially when in conflict, because we just don't do well when in the midst of that. Put your own agenda on hold. Be patient, you'll get your turn. But put your own agenda on hold. Listen. As if you were still and quiet before God. And allow that other person to speak and let them finish their thoughts. And then they're done speaking, ask this question. If you don't understand everything they're trying to tell you, ask, is there more? Or, I don't understand this part of what you're trying to tell me. Ask those hard questions. And when you do that, you validate the other person. They feel that they were heard. They feel that they were loved. And guess what usually happens? Most of the time, that other person will give you now the chance to speak your truth of what you believe. Remember that sacred place where God does his work? Most of the time, you can enter that sacred place and you can have those deep, true conversations, especially when it comes to peacemaking. Now, this is not going to happen 100% of the time. You are going to run into people that are not going to get this. They don't care. They're that immature adolescent that they don't hear nothing. And sometimes, even Jesus did that. He picked up his sandals, he brushed them off, and he said, move on to the next town. Pray for them. Forgive them. But move on. I have a question for you this morning. When it comes let me set the stage for this. When it comes to relationships, and I want you to think, if you're married, I want you to think of your spouse this morning when I ask this question. And here it comes. Are any of you mind readers? When you enter into conflict or have differences with others, are you able to read people's minds? And I'm going to bet that you all have done it, all right? And let me tell you kind of how this works this morning. Because when you're in conflict, we become mind readers. We try to figure out, what is the other person thinking? What did they think of me, right? And some of you are going, well, yeah, I've been there, right? And so this is what usually happens. You start to make assumptions about the other person's thoughts and beliefs towards you. When you're in conflict, when you're in differences, and it might come out like this. I think she thinks that I don't know what I'm doing. You ever had that before? Or here's another. I think that he thinks you fill in the blank. You ever seen that when you're in mind reading and you don't know for sure what's going on in the relationship, and you start to assume things? All right? Let's take a moment and pray for our firemen as they leave the building here. Let's pray. Lord, we know there's a fire call or a rescue call, and Lord, we just pray for the men and the women that will leave to depart for that. Lord, we pray for those that either have property that's on fire or a house or a home or a bad accident. Lord, we pray that your spirit is there. Lord, we pray for our rescue people today. Lord, give them the wisdom to do what's best for them. In Jesus I pray, amen. Do you get what I'm talking about when those situations come up in mind reading? And here's what I want you to think about. This is mostly what happens when we get into those situations. It is very possible that you believe something that's untrue. 99% of the time, you think random thoughts that are way off the wall, and you don't quite understand maybe what's going on. You ever been there? Right? I bet she thinks that I think that. See, you've all done it. We do that, don't we? And here is another thing I want you to point out. When we start to get in those types of places, I read you out of Matthew 7 about judging others, right? Well, that person thinks this of me, I bet. See, you start judging people in that situation. And then Exodus 20, verse 16, I believe it's the ninth commandment that's on the screen in the red box. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Because you know what people sometimes do? They start believing those untrue statements, and then they go tell their friend. Wreaks havoc on relationships. False peacemaking all over the place going on. And Jesus says, no, I want you to be true peacemakers. You can disrupt the peace, but you be true peacemakers in the midst of those things that you encounter in life. Mind reading in our lives. Making assumptions. Let me also share with you one other thing that as you enter into a relationship with other people, how many of you have allergies in here? Maybe don't want to even admit it, but sometimes you do, right? Did you know that you can get emotional allergies too? You ever heard of that term before? I thought that was quite interesting, right? So let me explain to you what emotional allergies are. Emotional allergies are situations that you encounter in your life, present day, and they bring up the past. And you fall back into those old patterns of whatever they are that you experienced in your life. And here's the key. You can recognize those things, but they will cause you to fall back into emotional infants, emotional children, and emotional adolescents when you enter into those types of situations because you've lived them somewhere in the past in the history of your life. And when you encounter that again, it all comes back. And you do things that you wouldn't normally do. You do things that are out of the ordinary because those emotional allergies are triggered by something that you've experienced in your life. And so I want you to be aware of emotional allergies. Part of the maturing process in our faith is recognizing those things that cause us to act unchristian-like, to cause us to not act like Jesus would in certain situations. That's what they do. Emotional allergies. And sometimes those emotional allergies, when they come up, we don't treat people very nice. We don't treat people very well, do we? And so I want you to be aware of those emotional allergies because your goal is to become an emotional adult in your life. And so here's some things I want to share with you as I wrap up this message this morning. The greatest gift that you can give others is to be a community of emotionally healthy adults. True peacemakers. People that have authentic, loving conversations. People that speak truth in love. The truth of Scripture. Especially in today's world. So may I encourage you to practice the I-thou relationship. May I encourage you to have honest conversations and be true peacemakers. And I'm going to also ask that you pray that we continue to grow in the faith of Jesus Christ, especially in our emotional lives, in the way that we handle conflict, Because my gosh, you don't have to look very far today and it's all over the place. Right? There's so many hot button issues. Who would have thought that a mask could wreak havoc like it has today? Right? Creates all kinds of division. A mask. Where's the emotional adult in the mix of that? That's what I'm talking about. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father,